Welcome to Ed Show 98. Last week was the Build Conference, loads of news coming out of there. Later on in the show, we're going to have a quick look at Windows 8.1 with Brad McCabe. But before we do that, let's talk about that Build news with David Tesler. David.
Yeah.
Hello.
All right. Hi. Yeah, tons and tons of stuff at Build Conference. I know it is a developer conference, but you know, there are still very much IT pro relevant news announcements, really more than we have to cover today. So we'll probably sprinkle some of them in the next episode or two, so we have adequate time to cover those. But some of the ones we want to cover are the 8.1 update.
Yeah, Windows 8.1 update. So we're going to do a load of that later on with Brad McCabe. But actually, there's some really cool stuff coming out for IT pros in here, particularly around Windows 8.1 and Windows 8.1 phone version as well. On the phone, we have new MDM capabilities. We can do deployments of VPN profiles, deployments of Wi-Fi profiles. We can set up email, whole load of cool stuff in there. But there's also all this news around this thing called Cortana, which is kind of interesting.
Yeah, Cortana. So the first time, you know, we announced that at Build, Cortana. It's the first time it hits you, you're like, huh? It's kind of like Bing the first time I heard it, but it really, you know, grows on me. Now, if you're a Halo fan out there, then you definitely probably relate a bit more. In fact, the picture that you see there on the screen is the Cortana character from Halo. So, you know, that if you're a Halo fan, great. If not, well, hey, you might be speaking to Cortana soon as your personal assistant on your Windows phone. That is what Cortana is. So many people are familiar with Siri. This is our own thing, right? It's Cortana.
It's
the better personal assistant, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah. That's the idea. It's going to revolutionize your life. It's going to help you to be able to find appointments, remember what you're doing. If you need to speak to somebody on the phone, it's going to remind you to talk to them about their puppies that they've just got the next time you give them a call, as long as you've set that as a reminder. It's going to remind you to go and pick up the groceries from home. It's going to remind you to do whatever you need to do. Kind of cool, kind of neat.
Yeah, helping you with your relationships and just being your own personal assistant.
Yeah.
Yes.
One of the things that is actually kind of cool, not that you want to do this, but the MDM capabilities that we've announced in Windows Phone actually do mean that an enterprise could turn off Cortana or Siri if they wanted to on a different type of device. So
That's good to know. If you don't want to hear from Cortana, then just silence them with a policy, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Yeah, that's the idea. Loads of stuff that we announced around Azure as well.
Yeah.
And I know you're totally into this. This is the new Ibiza portal. For me, Ibiza is a place where I go on holiday, kind of different. Yep. but this is the new Ibiza portal.
So if you've heard that name, that's what we're referencing here. I think in many cases, we're just calling it the new Azure portal. Mm-hmm. It is still going to be around, dual portals around for quite a while. If you go to portal.azure.com, that's the new one. And then manage.windowsazure.com is still going to be the old one that you're used to. The new one, it has a lot of really great integrated capabilities, right? Especially things like DevOps, where you can have an end-to-end story where you create, let's say, a new project in Visual Studio right from within the portal, edit your source code, spin up a whole new resource. We have a new concept called resource groups, and then manage those, have your billing, have operations, have analytics, all of that kind of end-to-end experience from start to finish, all inside of the portal. So you're going to start to see a lot of new stuff inside the portal come out and continued enhancements. So just check it out, right? If you've got an existing Windows Azure subscription, you can just go to portal.windowsazure.com and then that will pop up for you.
Yeah, I got to admit, I've been finding this really useful just for looking at billing on my account. It lets me see what VMs are consuming, how much my websites are consuming, where my costs actually are. And it's really kind of nice graphs, really nicely built in. Got access to all the galleries and everything. That you kind of expect. So really, really nice update. And then there's this.
Express Route. So some of you, that want different kinds of connectivity options up to your little slice of your Windows Azure data center resources, Express Route is a really great option there. Now, we've already announced Express Route in the past for some of our providers in the US. Mm-hmm. We've now announced two additional providers, BT and Verizon, so that if you have a MPLS network, let's say for instance, with that customer, you're then able to just use that network as an extension of your own your own data center networks up to Windows Azure. So you can just treat it just like a branch office, perhaps, of your own company.
Yeah,
right?
I find that really exciting because being British, we actually now have access to being able to use that directly into an Azure data center. kind of cool. You can read loads about it on this blog that's on screen, but also co-announced with BT and Verizon on their own blog sites, on their own press, and you can go read all about what we're actually putting in place out there through those.
Yep.
It's a sad week.
Oh.
Tuesday of this week.
Ah, yes.
It all ended.
Oh, no.
It all ended.
XP.
Yeah.
XP.
Windows XP. Boom. It ended.
Yes.
Sadly, no more updates for Windows XP, the beloved operating system from when? 2003, I think we first released that?
Yeah. It's so old now that when I start to use or touch Windows XP, I'm like, what? Huh? What is going on here?
How does that work? How does that happen? Yeah, I've completely forgotten how to use that. That operating system, I've actually forgotten how to use Windows 7, so that's not that difficult. And I really struggle to remember how to use my laptop on a day-to-day basis, but you know.
Yeah, I've actually heard stories of customers out there who've had feedback from new hires, like newer, younger folks, who are saying that their organization's using XP, and then they hand them the XP, and then they're like, I don't know how to use this. Like, literally, like, that's feedback that they're getting. Like, what is this thing, right?
It's been a strange kind of time, and there's lots of people out there still using XP. Yeah. Lots of kind of weird routes to kind of try and keep it safe and stuff, now that we're kind of moving away from the security patching, but ho-hum. It's interesting to see, though, that there's some customers out there who are doing that jump direct from XP to Windows 8. Like this small Japanese banking company who've migrated a little tiny 30,000 clients from XP direct to Windows 8, because it's one of those things that's really hard to do. Actually, if we read down the list here a little bit more, we'll see that they did it with System Center. They found it a relatively straightforward process. They were able to reduce their costs, increase employee productivity, as they went through, so kind of cool, really.
It is possible, folks. Mm-hmm. It is possible to make that leap. And so if you're going to do if you're going to move forward, you might as well move to the latest and greatest, right?
Yeah, absolutely. Why not? That is the thing.
Yeah.
MVA. We've got some updates coming through to MVA, some new courses.
Yeah. One of those coming out May 7th, personal plug for the DevOps for the IT Pro Jumpstart that we have. If you go to aka.ms/DevOpsJS, you can check that out, and we'll be really for the first time talking to IT professionals or operations folks out there of what your role could be like as an IT or ops person in a DevOps world, right? I mean, DevOps is kind of the new thing that really companies are jumping to. I equivalate it to as big of major shifts as virtualization and the cloud. I think DevOps is another one of those things where if you're not already thinking about it, it's something where you really want to attend the jumpstart and kind of get your head around where you might want to be heading with your career and helping your company out.
Yeah, and the registration is open. You can sign up for the event right now.
That's
in fact.
Right. There you go.
It's out there.
Yeah.
Also on the MVA front, my colleagues back in the UK running a really interesting competition. If you are in the UK, have a look at you'll probably have received an email if you're already a member of the MVA there, and you'll probably get this email that tells you how to become an MVA superhero. It's kind of an interesting campaign. You start to be able to create your own little personal superhero MVA avatar type thing. Really quite nice. Go and give that a quick look and see what's happening. And in other news, hashtags.
Uh-oh.
Yeah.
Hashtags.
Hashtags. Yeah, we set up tags for the show.
Hashtag show.
Yeah.
Hashtag. Hashtag.
I think it's hashtag Cortana. #cashawesome, is the big thing that's going around at the moment if you're into your Windows Phone stuff. But no, we've started to categorize the show into distinct categories to make it a little bit easier to find some of the content. So we've got Edge DevOps.
Yeah, Edge DevOps. We've got Enterprise Devices, which is the best term. We could encompass all of the past consumerization of IT, people-centric IT.
Everything
type of stuff related to that for enterprise client stuff. Mm-hmm. Yep. And then you've got server, Windows Azure, or Microsoft Azure. Ah, I keep saying Windows Azure, but
it's hard, isn't it?
Yes.
You've got to retrain your brain
to
get around to the new terminology there.
Yep.
Yeah, they're out there, so use those to start digging into the previous episodes of the show.
Yeah.
And you'll probably start to see some of the shows appear in some new places like MVA as well.
Yeah.
Probably time to switch over and
do
the interview.
I think so. Yeah. You want to learn more about 8.1 update. You probably want to stay tuned as it relates to you IT professionals out there.
Yeah. So we've got Brad McCabe from the Windows team showing us what was new in the update, talking through new features, showing you how you and your users might actually be able to make use of some of those features in the update. Some of them are really pretty cool, particularly around the MDM capabilities that we talk around at the end. So stay tuned, watch the interview. Welcome to the Edge Show interview. In this section, we're going to be having a look at Windows 8.1 update and some of the improvements that were announced actually just last week at the Build conference down in San Francisco. In fact, since the Build conference in San Francisco, we've actually been updating devices all across the world with Windows 8.1 update. So here to join me today to talk about that update and what's included, what kind of features are out there for IT pros, I've got Brad McCabe from the Windows team. Hi, Brad. Nice to meet you.
Thanks for having me here.
No worries. So what was in the update? What was the really kind of headline factors for Windows 8.1 update for IT pros?
So we had a lot of really cool things in there for IT pros. But I mean, the way to really think about this update is, you know, it's about addressing compatibility, some usability issues, and, you know, increasing performance, right? You know, and one of those big ones that we wanted to go after right away was, you know, some of the usability. Mm-hmm. Especially around mouse and keyboard users, right? We looked at a lot of our different users, a lot of the different data that we had, and we saw that, you know, people with tablets and touch devices, you know, they were kind of rocking out there. They were quite happy with their device. But, you know, mouse and keyboard users, there were some things that we could probably do to make life a little bit better for them. So that's kind of where we started things with.
And it has to be said, really, I kind of started using the update a while ago, and actually, I kind of like it. I use my mouse and keyboard all the time. I didn't really feel I had any issues using just regular Windows 8.1, but having got the update in place, actually, there's a few little things that have just made it slightly nicer for me, slightly nicer experience.
Yeah, and that's really what we were after and what we wanted to do. So all the things you know about touch and everything users have learned there, all of that stays the same. Mm-hmm. In fact, all of the things that users might have already started learning, things like the corners or how to close with the mouse and keyboard, all of that stays the same. So we've just added some additional ways to do things that we think will be a little more natural.
Yep,
should we take a look?
Yeah, absolutely.
So here I've got on my I've got a Lenovo X1 Carbon, very traditional clamshell form factor here, and you can see I've already had mine set up, so it boots immediately to my desktop. Since on this device, this is where I spend most of my time, and the first thing you notice as you look at this is if you look down the bottom here, you'll notice some additional things that I have pinned down here. So you'll see some things that you recognize, things like Internet Explorer, Word. Those type of things, but you'll also notice things like the Windows Store, the Modern Music app, or the Finance app all down here.
So all your Windows Store apps appearing on your desktop, on your taskbar, so that you can get to them really quickly.
Right, so I can just pin them just like any other desktop app. So I don't really have to think about, oh wait, this is a desktop app. I can pin that, oh wait, this is a modern app. Let me go back to start for that. It's an app is just an app for me. Mm-hmm. And you can see when you pin something to the desktop here, right, you better be a first-class citizen, and we made sure to do that. So if I mouse over something like the Finance app, you can see the preview there, just like if I mouse over something like Word, so no difference there. In fact, if I mouse over the Music app here, what you'll even see is the transport controls down here. So if I want to fast-forward or rewind, all that functionality that I'd expect from a desktop app right there for me.
I must admit, that's one of my favorite features. I've been sat at my desk using this, been listening to some music, listening to a bit of blues, and I'm like going through thinking, oh, I just want to pause this. And I don't actually have to go and flip back to the app or find the key on my keyboard. It's just right there on my taskbar. Done.
Exactly. Just using ways that you already work with these apps and you're used to working with these apps.
Yeah, completely familiar to me if I was using Windows 7, for example, transport controls there appearing for Windows Media Player.
Exactly, and that's what we tried to leverage, things that people were used to, right? So if I want to launch, say, the store app, I just click on that, and you know, we'll notice this little black bar at the top, which will slide away. We'll talk about that in a second mm-hmm. as well. But when I launch this app, right, I got this app, it's now full screen, it's immersive. And one thing that we heard from people was, I love this, you know, there's not 1,000 things popping up off my taskbar telling me different things, I can focus on my app. Mm-hmm. But one thing we heard from desktop users was, I feel a little disconnected, right? Like, how do I get back to my desktop?
Yeah.
So what we wanted to do was leverage some things that they're already familiar with, right? So if you take Internet Explorer today on Windows 7, you press F11, and you go full screen. Mm-hmm. To get back, you simply move your mouse to the top. Same thing here, right? If I take this modern app and I move my mouse to the top, down slides this title bar for me, right? And we try to hint the user as well, which you saw when I came in here. We sort of put it there for a few seconds and then slide it away. You know, very much, hey, there's something here, come explore.
Yeah, I like that, very neat. Yeah.
And if we come over here to the corner, you see some long-lost friends for some people, mm-hmm. you know, the minimize and the X close. To close.
Yep.
Exactly. Now, I can still do that, but since this is a touch device, if I, you know, as we were saying, if I like the touch gestures and I want to do those still work just as I expect.
Mm-hmm. And I'm one of those guys that I years ago worked in a finance department, lots of people actually to close their apps, Alt+F4.
Right.
Still works, presumably.
Still works. Right. So all of those things plus new ways, right? Whichever way works for you. And, you know, I don't know about you, but I find myself because I, you know, with a device like this, I do some mouse, I do some keyboard,
oh, yeah.
I reach up, I touch it. I'm doing everything
yeah.
all the
mixed
time.
Mixed mode interaction the whole time.
Exactly.
Yeah. Yeah. I've actually found this works really well for me when I want to focus on something. I'll load the immersive version of an app.
Because exactly.
I find that if I really need to concentrate on some note taking in OneNote, that's actually an easier place for me to do it. Less distraction going on. But also, I find that I can, you know, use the snap views, snap things to the left, the right, and then keep a desktop view there, and it just seems to be more harmonious.
Exactly, and we wanted to leverage off of that as well, mm-hmm. right? Because we know that desktop users like to switch between apps, and they like to do it with their taskbar,
yeah.
right? So if you're in here and you're taking notes and you need to flip over and get something else, well, in Windows 7, you can hide your taskbar and it slides to the bottom, you go to the bottom. Mm-hmm. We leverage that similar paradigm here. So if I move my mouse to the bottom of the screen, once I bump off the bottom, up slides my taskbar. And now, you know, if I want to switch to that finance app, or I want to switch to the music app, or I even want to switch to Word, to a desktop app, and then back over to the store, you can see very easy. We try to be very intelligent for you, so we mm-hmm. leave the taskbar there as you're making these switches. But then when you're done and you slide off, away goes the taskbar, back to focusing on your app. You want to close things, just hit the X, whether it's a desktop app or a modern app.
Very cool.
So we think that for a lot of desktop users, this will make things very, very easy for them to just feel natural, whether they're using desktop apps that they have, or whether they're using modern apps that that their organizations are bringing in. But we also wanted to make some other enhancements as well. You know, one of those things was to start, mm-hmm. right? On a touch device like this, I can tap and hold, and I get this great app bar, which, you know, if I'm holding this like a tablet, is right
yeah,
there for
right
my
position
thumbs.
For your hands, yeah.
If I'm doing this with my mouse and I'm right-clicking here and then I'm moving my mouse down to this corner and then swinging across, there's a lot of mouse movement.
Yeah.
So what we do with the 8.1 update is if I right-click, now I get this pop-up contextual menu right here with all the same functionality.
Mm-hmm.
So kind of like I could close with the close gesture or hit the X,
yeah.
the system just responds to me the way I want to interact. Same thing here. If I want to touch, it responds in a touch-friendly way.
Nice.
If I want to right-click, it responds in a very mouse-friendly way there.
And it's obviously going to reduce the mouse miles. I mean, you're going to have to replace your mouse less often.
Exactly.
Well, actually, I guess they're not like tires, but, you know, it's the same kind of idea.
Exactly. Now, one other place that we did work on, talking about compatibility, was around Internet Explorer compatibility.
Yes. Yeah, definitely. I think this is a really big one for anybody that's trying to deal with, moving from older operating systems to newer operating systems. It's really important that we actually try and keep that compatibility going. And one of the things that's always caused problems is moving away from websites that were designed for previous versions of Internet Explorer. Not always been the easiest thing to get those working seamlessly on a Windows desktop, on a newer version of a Windows desktop.
Exactly. And, you know, for a lot of corporations, they've got a lot of line of business apps that use and work great in Internet Explorer 8, but don't work with more modern versions. And it's really challenging for IT, right? Because you want to move your users forward. You want to get them into more modern things. You want to get them into a browser that supports HTML5 and better security. But at the same time, just to upgrade those apps is a huge investment.
Yeah, it costs a lot of money to do that upgrade from that old app, because you've probably got to go and find the developers, maybe get some newly trained developers to go and do it. It's kind of hard. So.
And we've talked to a lot of customers, and they look at a lot of different solutions, but usually those solutions entail two different browsers in some form, whether it's two different browsers or they do something like trying to virtualize it mm-hmm. or all kinds of weird things.
With third-party plugins.
Exactly.
And,
but when they do that, you get these two browsers, and now you got these challenges of, like, as a user, well, which one do I open for this? And what if I start here, but now I want to go somewhere else? And where's my history? So what we tried to do was solve this through a single browser. So if we come back down here to the desktop, right, and I launch my browser, you can see here it's Internet Explorer 11. A site like Bing comes up, and it renders great. But now, for this, I've got some applications here, one of which is a corporate travel site. And if I bring it up here, you can see, oh my gosh, you know, here I'm on Internet Explorer 11, but it says I need to update to the latest version, right? You know, there's some fun things out there. You would have thought we would have learned from things like Y2K.
Yeah, you'd think that versioning would be kind of easy. If version is greater than, then, but not everybody did that.
But we found actually a lot of these websites actually only look at the very first digit of the user agent string.
Yeah.
So they see Internet Explorer 11 as Internet Explorer 1, and they're like, oh, you need this newer version of IE8.
Yeah.
Right? But then there's also challenges, right? You can see some of the buttons misformatted here, right? And so what we did with enterprise mode for IE is we went back and we worked with a lot of pilot customers to understand why these applications were not working. Mm-hmm. And so when a site goes into enterprise mode, it could be changes to the user agent string, it could be code that was deprecated, but we fix all of that functionality so that this site is running in IE 11, but it has great emulation from IE 8, so these sites run great. Mm-hmm. Now, normally for IE, what they do is they push a group policy that will list all the sites. For the sake of demo, I've put it so I can turn enterprise mode on and off. So we can see the site here not working. Mm-hmm. But if I say tools, enterprise mode, once this site renders in enterprise mode, here it is, my buttons are correct, it's not yelling at me, I've got my Blue Yonder's airline flight here all set up to Denver, and away I can go.
Yeah, very cool.
Yeah, so we think this will help a lot of our customers who really want to move forward, but have all of these legacy apps. And what we'll do is not only will this be in IE 11 for Windows 8.1 with the update, but we'll also release this for IE 11 for Windows 7.
Excellent.
Yeah.
Cool.
So if you want to standardize and you want to go to IE 8 across your entire estate, whether it's Windows 7 or Windows 8.1, you'll be able to do that.
Awesome. So we basically have made it so that you can pick your operating system, pick the one that's best for you, pick the browser that's best for your business, make everything work as quickly and seamlessly as you can. At least that's the idea. What else have we put into the update to make things easier in other ways? I know there's some improvements around reducing the hardware footprint.
Exactly. We've taken and we've done some work to optimize the hardware. So our OEM partners will be able to build devices that have great experiences with 1 gig of RAM and 16 gig hard drives. So that, you know, this will really help to bring down the price points on some of these devices. So you'll be able to have a whole new class of hardware out there that great experiences at a great price point. Especially if you're thinking about something like maybe I've got a restaurant and I want a device where, you know, you're just checking people in and out. I don't need huge processing power, but I need to have, you know, I have a very successful restaurant chain, you know, 500 of these, right? You know, I could do that at a very economic price point.
Yeah, there's a great burger chain in the UK that I've started frequenting when I was back there. And they do exactly that. As soon as you walk into the restaurant, they have a device and they kind of take your details down on it. And then as soon as your table's ready, because it's really a busy place, they actually just send you a text message and you can go back, take your table, off you go, eat your nice juicy burger. It's a really nice idea to be able to do that with a low-cost device and moves it into a new field, really. Right.
And we do some work as well on the high end. So, right, we've got new class of hardware there. But we also do some things around the 64-bit Atom chips that are out there. Mm-hmm. Right, we know a lot of customers, you know, love these devices, great battery life, then still run all of your existing apps. But the challenge that a lot of IT pros had was, well, they ran a 32-bit version of Windows. So now I had my main machines running a 64-bit image, and I had to build a new 32-bit image.
Yeah.
By enabling these things with the update, then what we're able to do is take those machines, and now you can standardize with one image across the corporation.
Excellent. So, anything else that we need to think about from the update?
There's also there's some enhancements around MDM.
Yeah.
So through mobile device management, if you want to do things like whitelisting or blacklisting of apps through your MDM provider of choice, you'll be able to do those as well.
That's really cool, because that actually, for some folks out there, is a legal requirement for them to be able to roll out any kind of operating system. They have to have some kind of control over what apps can and can't run. And one of the things that was kind of a little bit tricky was, how do you make that happen in a lightly managed world of BYOD? So that's really kind of cool that we've got that kind of functionality going in there. And I think it's one of those kind of groundbreaking areas where we're really improving the OS.
Yeah. I think there'll be a lot of customers that this will be very good for them and open up a lot of new possibilities.
Yeah, I think so. Thank you very much for joining us on this Edge Show episode. Really, really interesting. Great to see all these things. And obviously, the update is rolling out as we speak to devices everywhere.
Yeah, everyone can take advantage of it starting now.
Yep, absolutely. Go and give it a try. I'm running it on my machine, my Lenovo X1. You're running it on yours. It's really great to just go and check it out, see what it's doing, and then think about deploying it out to your enterprise. Thanks very much for watching, and we'll switch back to the guys in the studio again. Thank you. So that was the interview with Brad. Hopefully, really kind of interesting. You should have found out about the app blocking and app whitelisting capabilities of the MDM updates that have gone into the Omer DM capabilities of Windows 8.1 update. Kind of cool, kind of neat stuff. Lots of nice stuff around the headlines of the UI changes, and also around the Internet Explorer enterprise mode, which hopefully will start to unblock some deployments of Windows 8.1.
Yeah, good stuff there. Good stuff there. I know, that's using it myself. I'm like, wow, this is refreshing. I don't know if it was subliminal or not, but I felt like after the update, my machine booted faster. I don't know. I know that was not a thing, but it was subliminal. It felt like it.
Yeah,
it was
a little quicker. There's those improvements in there as well to make it work on lighter weight devices, maybe devices with less physical storage space on them. Mm-hmm. So yeah, kind of cool. Kind of could have helped in other areas as well.
Cool stuff. Well, definitely connect up with the Edge team. We'd love to hear from you. We have Twitter. At TN Edge, so send us a tweet there if you would like, or hashtag TN Edge.
Don't forget to respond in the comments underneath the show. Go and fill those out. Let us know what you think. Tell us any ways that we can improve. Probably on my closing from interviews, that's probably one way that we can improve. But anything else that we can do, any topics you'd like us to go and talk to, anybody specific in any of the teams that you've seen, maybe at one of the conferences like Build, like TechNet that you'd like Tech Ed that you'd like us to go away and have some conversations with, get them in front of a camera. Other ways to connect, drop us an email.
Yeah.
Got the email address down there.
Facebook, all kinds of goodness.
Download the app.
Till next week.
See you next time.